أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد.
Welcome to another episode of Islam in Focus. Today we have our third program on Jesus, beloved messenger of Allah, and we'll be talking more specifically about the nature of Jesus. I'm your host for today's program, Hamid Rashid, and I have joining me on the program Brother Jamal Badawi of St. Mary's University. Brother Jamal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I wonder if I could have you very quickly summarize or highlight the main points that we touched on in the last program.
Sure. Last program was a continuation of explanation of what the Quran, as the last divine revelation, say about Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. And more specifically, we discussed the areas of similarity or parallels between John the Baptist and Jesus on one hand, and try to tie that also between the mission and parallels between Jesus and Muhammad, in the sense that both of them, that is John the Baptist and Jesus, paved the way and foretold about their successors. Most of the time was spent, however, in trying to explain and comment on the one of the crucial sections in the Quran pertaining to the nature of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. That's in Surah 19. In passages 16 through 36, more specifically how Mary came to be aware that she will conceive of Jesus, peace be upon him, and should give birth to him, what was the nature of pregnancy and childbirth, the type of distress that followed the delivery of baby Jesus, and the miracle of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, speaking while still even in his mother's arms, when his people started to accuse his mother after his birth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to pick up on that last point that you just mentioned. Does this passage in the Quran mean that Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, that he spoke while he was still an infant, still a baby?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, why is this miracle not common among the our Christian friends, our Christian community?
Well, as far as it's mentioned in the Quran, it's quite obvious and clear, and the context of the passages in the Quran when this is mentioned shows that it cannot be interpreted symbolically or anything that he really spoke as an infant in his mother's arm. I don't know of any parallel to that particular miracle in the canonized Gospels or anywhere in the Old Testament. I've never run through that. But in any case, even I would say in non-canonized literature, I'm not sure even when there's a mention of that, the literature that has not been accepted even within the official church. But in any case, as indicated several times before, the Quran is not based neither on canonized or non-canonized religious literature or writings of any human being or their interpretation. It is the divine revelation given by the Creator to his last messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. After all, one has to realize that the writers, biographers of different prophets or their disciples or other historians are human beings, and even with all good intentions, it's quite possible that certain things might be left out or forgotten or not included simply. But the word of Allah is the final criterion, of course, that because Allah doesn't have any mistake or doesn't forget anything or drop anything. However, in addition to this possible reason to explain why that particular divine information has not been included in the New Testament, beside the fact that it could have been possibly human imperfection by humans trying to record the life of Jesus, if we look at it more objectively, there may be a possibility of another explanation, as Sheikh Sha'rawi explains. Because when any biographer or disciple wanted to convey that miracle, he would not simply say that Jesus spoke as an infant. It would be essential to say, what did he say? Because, of course, everybody would be interested. What did he say as an infant or a baby? And if we go to the word of Allah in the Quran, we find that actually what Jesus said as a babe was, Inni Abdullah, I am the servant of Allah. He has given me the book and the wisdom, and He made me a prophet, and He made me blessed. See? So in other words, this passage from the Quran indicates without any doubt, without any confusion, that Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, described himself as the servant of Allah and his prophet and messenger. Well, obviously that statement is quite explicit, and it is quite different from what other groups who try to prove, of course, that he was divine or God incarnate, or man and God at the same time. So that seemed to go against the that common notion. Whether this was the reason for the elimination of that particular miracle, and again, whether it is the reason why we find that this is not included in even other ancient records in literature, religious literature, in any case, it shows indeed the absolute truthfulness and integrity and honesty of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who received the Quran.
Could you perhaps explain how, what you mean by that?
Well, because the Quran elsewhere very positively and clearly negates any notion that any creature of Allah, be it Jesus, Abraham, or Muhammad, or anyone else for that matter, is divine. The Quran clearly negates that there is no creature of Allah who combines divinity and humanity, or any person whatsoever that combines this. Now, when the Quran describes this wonderful miracle given to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, speaking as an infant, which is amazing, when we find that this is there in the Quran, and it's not there in any canonized gospel or any part of the New Testament, one has to ask here, if the Quran is trying to negate any notion that Jesus was divine, it is quite clear that a miracle like that could give some excuse for people who want to deify Jesus, because they say, look, you know, how about this miracle? Doesn't that show some divinity? And if the Quran were the authorship or the work of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as a human being, we'd expect him to drop any such kind of miracles which may give the indication or impression that Jesus was divine, even if it's misinterpretation, but at least might give that indication. But the very fact that the Quran, on one hand, negates any notion of divinity of any creature of Allah, including Jesus, but in the meantime describes miracles that has not even been mentioned in the New Testament, shows that this is the truth as it is coming from the Creator, even though it might have been lost to history. And it shows the absolute honesty and integrity of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, not trying to act like politicians or, you know, say the things only which are suitable for a certain purpose, but to honestly convey whatever has been revealed to him. It's amazing evidence to me.
A common point that is often raised is that since Jesus did not have a human father, he must be the Son of God. What is your comment on that?
Well, the question that Jesus was born of a virgin is quite obvious from what the Quran describes, and that again ties to my answer to the previous question. Why even would that be included in the Quran, despite of all of the confusion about divinity of Jesus? I mean, this is the truth, as Allah has revealed to his last prophet. But if an argument can be made that since a person proceeded only from a female without a physical father, then he must be the Son of God, not in the metaphoric sense, but the Son, begotten Son of God, as some people wanted to put, then how do we explain the creation of Adam and Eve? After all, Adam was created from neither male or female. He doesn't have a mother or father. Does that mean that he is even more divine than Jesus? It doesn't mean that. Eve was created from a man's side, but not from a woman's side. Nobody ever said that because of that Adam, Eve can be regarded as divine. Indeed, the Quran answered that in a very succinct and beautiful way in Surah 3, in passage 59. إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, the similitude of Jesus before Allah is like that of Adam. He created him, that Allah created Adam, from dust. Then he said to him, "Be," and he was. This truth comes from your Lord, so be not of those who doubt. One of the most notable Muslim scholars once explained it very nicely, and he said that Allah, glory be to him, created human beings through four different kind of miraculous ways. All of them are miraculous and all of them are amazing. One is through a mother and father coming from a male and female, and that is of course you and me and I suppose everyone else for that matter. And that's not less miraculous, of course, to start from this very microscopic thing and have all these hereditary characteristics. Definitely is a miracle in itself. Indeed. But because it's so frequent, you don't really stop to think how wonderful human creation is.
Right.
Secondly, a human who's created from neither a male or female side, that's Adam. A human who's created from a man's side but not from a woman's side, that's Eve. There was one link missing to complete these various forms of wonderful creation. A human being to be created from a woman's side and not from a man's side, and that was Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him.
Well, some people raise a question about that, and they ask, why was Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, the only person to be born in this unique way?
The birth of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, is no doubt unique. But to say that something is unique is different from saying something is divine.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, the two are not necessarily
synonymous.
At least, as far as we know, historically, there is no other similar example that we know of that exactly resembles the birth of Jesus, at least as far as the Quran is concerned, because, and we may come to this point a little later, because in the Bible, in the book of Hebrew, in chapter 6, verse 3, it speaks about someone who is created from neither a mother or father. So I leave that aside and come to it later when we discuss in some other program perhaps the nature of miracles of Jesus and whether this has anything to do with divinity. But I'm speaking from the Quran, from a Quranic standpoint.
Yes.
The only recorded case of virgin birth was that of Jesus, peace be upon him. Indeed, every prophet did have a unique miracle. Creation of Adam was unique. Creation of Eve in that particular form was unique. Prophet Abraham coming out of the fire without being burned is unique. Prophet Solomon's understanding of the language of birds and having the jinn spirits working for him, whatever he wanted, is unique. The night journey and ascension into heaven of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his receiving of the Quran itself is a unique miracle also by itself. But in none of these cases do we say that this is really a reason to say that any of these great prophets was divine or was God or God incarnate. The reason why the miracles of the prophets are not exactly the same, that there have been uniqueness in that sense or variations, is that the miracles were suitable to the conditions of people around them at that time. For example, at the time of Prophet Moses, we find that the Egyptians were priding themselves on their ability to play magic, so the miracle came also of similar nature.
Yes.
When Prophet Muhammad came, the Arabs were so proud of their eloquence, and here comes a man who never had been a poet and challenges them, and for 1400 years nobody could match the beauty and or wisdom of the Quran. By the same token, the virgin birth of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, is quite suitable and appropriate for the situation at his time. Because at that time, you know that first of all, the Greek philosophy was quite common, popular, and the whole discussion of cause and effect has been quite prominent. The advancement in medicine, the ritualism and materialism among the Israelites, which of course made them at times to forget about the spirit of the law and just stick to the letter of the law. And of course, in the Gospels, you find numerous examples of Jesus speaking against this. So this was a very opportune time for people who started almost to reject even this, the word of spirit, or just look only in the material, physical, ritualistic thing, that Allah is able to do things the way he wanted, regardless of what we consider to be cause-effect relationship, regardless of what we as human define as natural laws. Miracle of that birth par excellence really was very suitable and very fitting to these circumstances, as it was with other prophets.
Of course, we know that the Quran refers to Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, as a word from God.
Mm-hmm.
How similar or different is this term with Christian theology?
Big difference. I'm not saying from the Bible, because sometimes when you read the Bible carefully, you may not necessarily find complete support of theological dogmas, yes, in our position that has developed later, much later after Jesus. But I'd say it's quite different, for example, from the Greek concept of the Logos, L-O-G-O-S. But it looks like what appears in the Gospel of John, according to John, I should say, in the first chapter, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, that, as many scholars indicate, that this seemed to be an adaptation from Alexandrian and Gnostic mysticism. When the Quran, however, refers to Jesus as a word from Allah, it has absolutely no relevance or no relationship to these ancient philosophical concepts or theological dogmas. The best way to explain it, perhaps, would be to refer to one passage in the Quran that uses the term word to refer to Jesus, word of God. In Surah 4, in passage 171, إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته, that Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than an apostle or messenger of Allah, and his word, which he bestowed, that's Allah bestowed, upon Mary, and a spirit proceeding from him. As the great interpreter of the Quran, At-Tabari, the most famous perhaps of all, interpreted or explains the word kalima, or word of God, as message, that the word or promise or message that Allah conveyed to Mary through the agency of angel Gabriel. In another citation in the Quran also, we find that it was told to Mary that Allah send you a glad tidings or news of a word from him, his name shall be Christ the son of Mary, or Jesus the son of Mary. Now, it should be noted here that the term word of God,
mm-hmm,
is used in the Quran not to refer to Jesus only, but to refer to many other people.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, there are at least 12 places that I could trace in the Quran where the word or word of God has been used even in plural. Examples of that would be in Surah 18, passage 110, and Surah 31, passage 27. It talks about kalimatullah, the words in plural of Allah. In any case, there is an interesting passage in the Quran that shows an identical usage of the term word of God,
yes,
in reference to Jesus as well as others. In Surah number 36, in passage 82, it says, verily, when he, that's Allah, the Creator, intends a thing, his command is, quote-unquote, be, kun, be, and it is. Also in Surah 16, in passage 14, Allah himself speaks in the Quran and says, for anything we have willed, we but say to it, or say the word, be, and it is. So in that sense, Jesus is a word from Allah, in that sense, that he was created not through any particular known agency of male intervention, but he was created directly by God through the command of the word be. So he's created through that word. He's the word in, mm-hmm, the sense of word materializing.
Yes.
But he is created by the word be.
Yes.
And I'd like to indicate here that sometimes also some writers, I don't want to say deliberately, it could be lack of understanding of the Quran and its language. They say the Quran says that Jesus is the word of God, as giving the false impression,
mm-hmm,
as if, you know, there's nobody else, because of course the word of God is just the word of God.
Yes.
And they do not mention anything about that it is bi kalima, and in Arabic that's known as tab'id, of a word from him.
Yes.
There are other words too. We are all words of Allah in that sense.
Yes.
We're created by his command.
Indeed.
In his word.
I'd like to pursue this line of questioning and raise a similar question with reference to the Prophet Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, in the Quran. This has to do to the reference to Jesus as the Spirit from Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any difference in the meaning of that term, too, or does this relate to the concept of Trinity in your view?
You know, it has, like the word also, absolutely nothing to do with the concept of Trinity or Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, capital H, capital S, you know,
yes.
That is regarded in the concept of Trinity as, you know, one person or the third person in the Trinity, the triune Godhead. No, actually the best way is to refer first to the usage of the term in the Quran. And the Quran uses the Arabic term, which has usually been translated as spirit. The Arabic term is ruh. It is R-O-O-H, ruh. And if one examines the Quran, we find that it appears in four meanings, none of which has any relevance to Trinity. Ruh appears in the Quran in Surah 58, passage 22, to refer to the strength that Allah gives to believers at the time of crisis. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ, that the believers receive this strengthening or ruh from Allah. Secondly, it is used in reference to revelation given to prophets.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just give a number of passages for those viewers who might wish to check it on their own. It is in the Quran in Surah 16, passage 2, in Surah 40, passage 15, and in Surah 42, passage 52. In all of these, it's used in the sense of revelation. Thirdly, it is used to refer to angels, and more particularly, some verses refer to Gabriel, angel, Archangel angel Gabriel. And this appears in 2:87 and 5:113 and in 19:16. I should add here that sometimes also, in the case of Gabriel, he was called Holy Spirit, but in a sense of honored spirit, not as part of Godhood, but as a servant of God.
Yes.
Sometimes he's referred to also as the honest spirit, Ar-Ruh al-Amin. But again, this small s, it's not, no part of Godhood at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth meaning of ruh, as used in the Quran, is the secret of life and spirituality that Allah gives or endowed the human with. Let me just refer to quotations by way of example of the connection here between the term ruh and the nature of Jesus, peace be upon him. For example, in Surah 4, passage 170, we find that Jesus is described as Ruhun Min, that he is a spirit from Allah. That was the passage I read earlier. But if you check, for example, passage, or Surah, I should say, Surah 32, passage 9,
mm-hmm.
You find that Allah described the creation of the human in general, and it says, but he, that's Allah, fashioned it, the human, in due proportion, and breathed into it something of his spirit. Some verses actually speak about Adam in particular, the others, like this one, speaks about the human in general, which means that the human is created also not only as a word of God or the word of Allah, but also having this, or having been endowed with a spirit from Allah.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody can ever argue that, say, all right, because the spirit of Allah has been breathed into me, then I must be divine. It has absolutely no relevance to that. So the meanings really are very different. And I should add also a comment similar to the one I made about the use of the term word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Some writers, again, are not totally accurate when they say that according to the Quran, Jesus is the spirit, capital S, of Allah. The verse actually says وَرُوحٌ مِنْ, and مِنْ in Arabic means تَبْعِيد, which again means part.
Mm-hmm.
A spirit from him, just like you and I also have a spirit from Allah within our very identity and existence. So none of these has anything to do at all with the concept of Trinity.
Well, some Orientalists continuously make the claim that what the Quran negates is not the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
but other earlier church heresies. What is your comment on that, and particularly in view of your familiarity with the Quran?
Well, my comment on that this is a very, very common error. I have, just to confirm what you said, I have seen that stated over and over again in many writings by missionaries, Christian missionaries and Orientalists and others. And it reflects really lack of careful examination of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
We find that not only does the Quran negate any aberration which was regarded as heresy by the early Christian church, it negates as well even the commonly accepted idea of Trinity or divinity of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Let me give you an example of each that we can at least give documentary clarification of this. In the Quran, in Surah 5, particularly in passages 119 and 120, it's very clear. It negates the heresy of considering Mary, the mother of Jesus, peace be upon him, or attributing some divinity to her, something that, as you know, has been rejected in early church councils and then accepted in the year 431, which is not accepted by other sects now. But in any case, the text, the translation of the meaning, I should say, in the Quran says, "And behold, Allah will say," that is in the Day of Judgment, addressing Jesus, "O Jesus, the son of Mary, did you ever say unto people, worship me and my mother as gods? In derogation of Allah, he," that's Jesus, "will say," that is to Allah, "glory be to you. Never could I say what I had no right to say." And then it continues on, and if you continue later in the verse, it says, "Never," Jesus says, "never said I unto them, except what you," the Creator, "did command me to say, worship God," or worship Allah, "my Lord and your Lord." I know that this, of course, is not the belief of the mainstream of Christianity. It was regarded, as you know, at some point or the other as a heresy. But yes, that's negated. On the other hand, another belief that, again, many Christians would consider to be heretical is to believe that Jesus was God himself, that he and the Father were the same person, not in unity, that is, he and the Father are one person, not two persons in triune Godhood. But again, we find that this is negated also in the Quran. In Surah 5, in Ayah 72, it says, "Certainly they disbelieve," or they reject faith, "who say, God is Christ, the Son of Mary. God is Christ, the Son of Mary. But said Christ, O children of Israel, worship God," or Allah, "my Lord and your Lord. Whosoever associates others with Allah, Allah will forbid him the garden, and the fire will be his abode, and for the wrongdoers there will be no helpers." But in addition to this, we find that the concept of Trinity also, or three persons in unity, or one in three and three in one, has also been negated. And if you continue in the following passage, that is in 573, mm-hmm. in the translation of meaning, it says, "Certainly they have rejected faith who say God is the third of three." An explanatory note here really should be, as Yusuf Ali suggests, in Trinity. There have been misquotation many times of this verse of the Quran, and I've seen some translation that say they disbelieve those who say God is the third of three gods. The word gods never appear in the Quran. It's simply thalith thalatha, a third of three, which means clearly three in Trinity. And the Quran is very precise. If it meant three gods, it would have put that explicitly, as you find in other places in the Quran. To continue, and it says, "For there is no God except God," or Allah alone. So I think all forms of attributing divinity to the creature, the honored messenger and prophet of Allah, Jesus, peace be upon him, are indicated in the Quran as contrary to the will of the Creator who sent Jesus, and contrary to his own teaching, to the teaching of Jesus. May peace and blessing be upon him.
Well, thank you, Brother Jamal, for a very interesting program. We want to thank you for being our guest and invite you back next week when we'll continue our discussion of Jesus, beloved messenger of Allah. Thank you for watching. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله.